We are charged as a New Testament church to be about the what's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is founded in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. And it says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." It is the premise, that is the premise of our Hope Mission Team that has the privilege of going all over the country sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's also the premise of every church that is to be about the proclamation of the gospel. There are so many things that are happening in our culture right now. There are so many things happening so quickly, and what to give to, for example. We have the situation in Texas. We have the situation in Florida. As I stood in the pulpit a couple weeks ago, I said I felt led that we needed to give something. And I don't know, sometimes I don't have it all together. I don't purport to have it all together. I just serve one who does have it all together, and his name is Jesus Christ. So when I say things, I do mean them through the inspiration of God's Spirit, but I didn't know that Irma was coming. And then on top of that, I didn't know a ministry that we have been supporting for years was hurting. Now, the Lord knew that at that time. I did not know it. And we have been involved in and supporting whirlwind missions for years. Whirlwind missions ministers the gospel of Jesus Christ to hundreds of people in the apartment complexes. And I could call on Tim right now to give us the numbers, but I don't want to do that. I just want him to sit there and listen. He had texted me yesterday while I was up here and had shared on the text. It says, "Please pray for us. Our checking account at Whirlwind Missions is a negative $80. Just pray for us." And Tim and I, we've known each other through the years, but Tim's in a precarious position now that he and his wife are members here. They came into our church a little bit, a number of months ago. So I know that that was kind of it was a difficult thing to let me know, being pastor, but not difficult because he never asked for a penny. So I asked him to call me back, and I was on the phone with him yesterday afternoon. He was sharing with me what is going on in their particular ministry and the downturn of giving from churches. And we can certainly understand what is happening. It's been happening in churches for quite some time. And I said, "Tim, I want to pray with you." And I did pray with him, and I said, "I will take this to our deacons this morning." And these are our two deacons right now. Thank you for voting, and we'll share with you those results of the individuals that are coming on with these men here in a couple weeks. I share with them, and I asked for them for their leadership. And I said to them, I said, "We can give money to a lot of great things, and we have and we will if the Lord impresses us. But the uniqueness about the church, and I believe, and these guys have my back, is that we all to particularly be interested in ministries with their main focus is to help people to come to know Jesus Christ." Amen. And that is what this ministry is about. So I am going to jump on ministries like that because I believe that is the Great Commission. So I shared that with the deacons this morning, and they have agreed to support. The three of us are coming in support of asking you as a congregation to first pray for whirlwind missions and to ask God for their grace and power. Many of you know Kathy, who's been ill now. She's in your Sunday school class. She's been in now for 6 weeks. She has to go and see a doctor tomorrow. So they're really getting it in that aspect. So, but you may have already been led to give something to Harvey. You may have already been led to give something to Irma. and you can't give anything else, which is fine. But you can give a prayer on their behalf, right? And maybe others of us who have been waiting for the right time. We felt, you know, we want to do something, and maybe we thought it was this, that, and maybe it's this. So we are going to, for this week and next week, give you, if you want to financially help World Win Missions, to give an offering to community outreach. We have this fund of community outreach where it goes in community outreach and then goes right out to the particular ministries that we want it to go to. And we are coming to you and saying we feel that we want to give them not only our prayer support, but I also sometimes like to give it a check. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to do that. Do you like to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Give me a check right now. Anyway, just Terry, just teasing. So we want to provide that opportunity to you. I will tell you that we do feel impressed. We do feel impressed, the three of us, to write a check that Tim will come pick up tomorrow. We feel that impression by the Lord. We just feel we're going to step out in faith and going to just let him know and the ministry know that we want to support them. Now, but you have to do as the Lord leads you to do. So we just first want to ask you to pray for Tim and Kathy and their ministry that they've been in over 21 years. And they're in this particular season of great need. So if that's something that you can help with, let the Lord lead you. But like I said, all of us can pray. And so your daughter is having the second one. Okay. All right. So maybe this is a way that we can come alongside by praying support and also financially. Those of you that are at that point to contribute, we'll take it up today, next week, and the following week. But so you know, as a church congregation, we will be writing a check to them, and they'll get that tomorrow. We're step out in faith. We feel led to step out in faith and do that. And so we want to let you be aware of that opportunity, and you pray accordingly, and you give accordingly. Father God, we are in a time of great, great need in so many different areas. Wow. And yet, Lord, as the body of Christ, we want to come and make intercession for Tim and Kathy. We want to ask, Lord, for your grace upon them and your mercy of healing upon Kathy and insight and wisdom to the doctors and nurses and those that are attending to her even tomorrow. We also pray for this upcoming celebration of another grandchild, and we pray for your hand of comfort upon their precious daughter and strength upon their son-in-law. And Lord, for those of us that are here today that are in a position and feel compelled to not only pray but also to give with the great realization that lives will continue to be impacted with the gospel, that people will hear about Jesus, individuals that we will never ever meet because of languages and things of that type. And we're so thankful to just come alongside and support. So Lord, we pray for others that will hear this need, others in ministry as their scope of ministry to so many different individuals. And Lord, that they'll feel compelled not only, of course, to do the greatest thing, that is to prayer, but also, Lord, in those cases where financial resources could be secured for this ministry. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, for the so many opportunities. But, Lord, we ask that you'll give us discernment individually as well as collectively in the giving of our offerings for the proclamation of the gospel. We are grateful for the privilege that we have to give. And it's in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Thank you, Lyle. Thank you, Brother Jim. As they are being seated, if you'll open up your Bibles to part two of Paying Attention, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we're going to finish, hopefully, paying attention this morning. I know Many of you have been paying attention to a lot of different things. Of course, last week at this time, it was a beautiful day, and the pending wind came in, and many of us paid attention to the effects that it had on our homes or the effects upon friends that were in Florida and things of that nature. So what a week it's been. Certainly a number of you have gone on without electricity for not only hours, but a number of you for days on, and you've experienced something relatively different. And this group in chapter 8 of Nehemiah is about to experience something tremendously different. We left with Ezra opening up the Word of God from early in the morning to about lunchtime. So we deducted about 5 to 5.5 hours there listening to the Word of God. The thing that I wanted to also bring out attention, as my wife and I were talking about this, back in chapter 8, verse 2, it says, or verse 1 rather, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe, it says, they, the people, told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of law of Moses. Now, I not brought it out, but my wife brought out and said, hey, hon, have you ever thought about this? They asked for someone to stand and read the Word of God. The people asked. Wouldn't that be something if the people in the churches say, hey, we don't want to listen to the platitudes of all this humanism. We want to hear from the Word of the Lord. We want to hear from God's Word. Wouldn't that be refreshing for the people of God to get so saturated with the Word of God that they would go in and correct the pulpits in America that are not reading the Word of God from the pulpit? Amen? I think that would be really, really cool. But anyway, so we pick up part 2 in verse 9. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this is Nehemiah chapter 8, reading from the NIV version, verse 9, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice fruit and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 11, the Levites calmed all the people saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. On the second day of the month, the heads of the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the Lord. Words of the law, this day two. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim the word and spread it throughout the towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, in the square by the water gate, and one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. The Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Verse 18, day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Last week, we talked about people were ready to listen to the Lord. They were ready to listen to God. Number two was reading and teaching of the Word of God. And then what I want to spend the time on is number three, conviction happens when we pay attention. As we allow the Lord to touch our lives, we push away the things that get in the way of our relationship with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, conviction will start happening in our lives that we're drawn to Him and we're drawn to His Word. So the first thing we need to understand is, what is conviction? Conviction is the state of being convinced that you are wrong and that He is right. Another way of saying it is to be found guilty. To be found guilty. To say, I am wrong. Those of you who are a little bit my age, you remember that show about the guy named the Fonz. How many remember Happy Days? Oh, there you go. And there was a character, young people, on this particular show called Happy Days called Name of the Fonz. Jakai, have you ever heard of the Fonz? Fonz of what, right? Yeah, that's what he said, Fonz of what. So this show, young people, was about this. It was just a real wholesome show, but there was a guy on that was really cool. He was hip. What's another word today that they would understand? Hip. Huh? Hip-hop. Yeah, okay, he was hip-hop. But this guy, Fonz, would never say that he was wrong. He would never say that he was wrong. He was, I'm wrong. Do you know that's tough for believers today? You see, the thing that you have to see here, we're not, Ezra is reading the word of the Lord to whom? The people of God, the Israelites. Often we jump and we say, oh, this is all for the lost people. No, Ezra is reading the word of the Lord to God's people, the nation of Israel. There is a tendency among us to not admit that we are sinners. Somehow we feel that when we get redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we don't sin anymore. That we're holy, that we're righteous. Well, that's contrary to Scripture, is it not? So this conviction of state of being wrong, that he is right, to be found guilty. Conviction. What happens when conviction, two things happen. Number one, our actions change. Our actions change. Here in the text, when Nehemiah, the governor, and the priests are all together, they said, this day is sacred. Because it says, do not mourn or weep. They had started the beginning process of mourning and weeping because they heard the word of the Lord. Now understand, they had been in exile. There was a great hunger. This was new stuff. They were hearing it because it was quiet for so long. This was a group that came back from the exile that started building this wall along with Nehemiah. And they heard the word of the Lord, and it brought on conviction. They started weeping. It's a rare thing, is it not? In our church today, it has happened occasionally where a person will come down weeping because of getting convicted. Those you remember a number of months ago, when we had Raquel, we baptized Raquel, and you noticed when she came into the water, anybody remember what she was doing? She was crying, alligator tears, because the Lord had touched her life in such an incredible, incredible way. And conviction, our actions change. And here they're weeping and they're mourning. Look there in verse 9, it says, do not, and then they said, do not weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listen to the words of the Lord. That's what conviction is. They're listening to the word. Here in the context of the scripture, as you go down and read on, they listened to the word for 8 solid days. So let's just picture that and put that in contemporary life. As we said last week, it gets light around 7 o'clock. So let's imagine if all of us were to gather here at 7 o'clock this morning. And I start reading the word. And I read to 12 o'clock. No one moves. Now that would be a miracle. That in itself. And oh, by the way, what were they doing? They were standing up. Now that's another miracle. They were standing up in reverence to the word. So they did it on Sunday. They came again on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and on Sunday. 8 continuous days. It goes on to read, it gets even longer. We were going to get there next week. But for 8 continuous days, they listened to the word of God for nearly 5 hours. Wow. How long was a football game that you watched yesterday? How long was it? 3 hours. So it's almost 2 football games. What? Listening to the word, what? What would the church say today? No, it's going to be real quiet. What would the church say to that if the preachers in America say, hey, we're going to start reading the word of God from 7 to 12 o'clock and everybody's going to come for 8 straight days? What would the church say? What would they say? What would they do? Who said that? Not show up. That is just the reality of the situation. Now, I know that they have to go to work. I know it's different days, but I understand what I'm saying. But let's put it this way. What if I'm saying today we're going to show up next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary here, and we're going to read the Word of God for 5 solid hours? Did you notice how quiet that got? You're not going to do that, are you? There's no way, right? I'm just trying to give you what these people were experiencing. You see, what happens is conviction, actions change. Conviction is not getting your hug top in a service for a few moments, and then before you know it, you're out in the parking lot, you're going somewhere, and you've completely 100% forgotten what you just heard and got convicted about. I'm not going to ask for any testimonies on that point. We know all of us probably have experienced that in some way or another. But their actions changed. What else happens under conviction when we pay attention to God's word? Here you got to get these 2 things. It produces illumination, I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-I-O-N, illumination, and it produces insight. Now here in the text, the Levites calm the people down. Look there in verse 11. The Levites calm all the people down, saying, be still, for this day is sacred. Do not grieve. Hey, chill out. Wait a minute. Before you get all huffed up, settle down. Go on home. Verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink and said portions of their food to celebrate great joy. And then on the second day, they came back. Look what happens on the second day. On the second day of the month, the heads of the families, along with the tribes and priests and Levites, 13, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths. Now, what was this? This was called the festival booths. And this was something that the Israelites is a reminder of what it was like to live in the desert. It was a reminder to the Israelites what they were about to do. They were about to live in the desert. They came out of Egypt. And it was a part of the history. The Lord says, you're going to put booths together, some temporary structure, and you're going to realize how blessed you are. Now, every one of you experienced something different this week because of Irma in a lot of different ways. But those of you particularly who experience Irma in light of the loss of electricity for not just 24 hours, but for 2, 3, and some of you for 4 days. I would imagine that if we put a mic to you and said, what was that like? We'd hear all kind of interesting things. I didn't know what to do. For most of us, I'm 62, so for most of us, 62 and younger, we've all lived with what? Electricity. We have. We don't know what it's like for some of you who lived that didn't have electricity. I'm not saying that Terry Weldon, you're real old. I'm just saying that those of you that lived a little bit longer had those times in which you did not have those things that would be, we would now say, are very a luxury.
See, the nation of Israel had forgotten where they had come from.
Have we forgotten? How many of us forget that just 3 years ago, a little bit more than 3 years ago, we still owed $150,000 on an educational building? How many of you forgot that within a year, because of the direction of Henry Fuller and Terry Weldon, we paid that building off? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we are debt free in the midst of what we're going through right now. Could you imagine having another bill of $3,000 a month with decreased attendance and decreased giving upon the membership? Can you imagine what it would happen? God's good, isn't He? Just amazing, right? Just absolutely amazing. We would have not brought the need of whirlwind missions to you this morning. There'd be no way. Because there's no way. We're giving here, we're giving here, we're giving here, and understand, and rightfully so. But we forget. I forget. We forget. The nation of Israel had forgotten what their ancestors had gone through. So this first thing of illumination means to supply or brighten with light. The illuminating word of God brings to light your situation in the light of God's mercy and power. But understand, if you don't read the word, you will not become illuminated. And when illumination happens, the next thing follows automatically. It kind of goes like a coin together. As soon as God's word illuminates to you, it immediately gives you, number two, insight. Insight is the power or the act or result of seeing into a situation. It's the understanding. It's the penetration. It is the penetration of God's word into our heart. And when the penetration gets into our heart, it is when we change. It is the heart has to change. It's like asking an addict to give up something in their mind. And an addict cannot give up something in their mind. They have to have a power. Oh, that hits home, doesn't it, Bobby? Boy, does that hit home. I wasn't even thinking about that. It's got to go to the heart. And that heart has got to be changed so you see the change. And we're not talking about change for a moment. We're not talking about change for 5 minutes. We're talking about a change that changes you from the inside out. And you become the Lord Jesus Christ to someone. Could it be the reason why the church is not impacting America? It's because many of the church members are not changed. They're not changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this illumination, and it's this insight. And they're having 7 and 8 days of reading of the word. Phenomenal. This is absolutely phenomenal what was happening here. Keep your finger there and travel all the way over to Hebrews chapter 4. And some of you know this verse well, but it's just great for us to read it again because it is so powerful. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. This is where it gets you. Here it is. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Ladies and gentlemen, single adults, youth, and children, there is something about the Word of God. It is living and it is active. It is powerful for your life. But you have to give yourself to it. Many, many of us in this sanctuary, we like and enjoy perhaps the benefits of the current technology. And the current technology gives us stuff that's absolutely instant. And it's absolutely amazing. Those of us travel, we forget what it was like bringing out a map and having a map, because now we got Google, and Google Map this, Google Map that. And it's amazing. I remember a number of years ago going on a Hope trip, my daughter was saying, "Dad, Dad." I said, "I want to see that map. Let me see the written map. Dad!" She was on Google, says, "Dad, it'll get you there quicker." No, it won't. She's not letting me live that down. I was wrong and she was right. But how many of you would like to go back to that days of pulling out the paper map? Okay, all right. That's the reality, right? Okay? So we enjoy those benefits. And as great as those benefits are, can I humbly tell you, it cannot touch the benefit of enriching your life each and every day with the precious Word of God. There's not a one of us that's going to hand in our cell phone. There's not a one of us that's going to turn it over. "I want to go back to the good old days." Okay, sure you do. You're not. And as good as that is, and it's good, it does not compare, ladies and gentlemen, to this. There's something about this that gets in here, that gets in our spirit. So let me give you the fill in the blank there on your notes. God's Word penetrates into our lives to enable us to see where we are. God's Word penetrates in our lives to enable us to see where we are and to respond to where we need to be in our relationship with Him. Christianity is all about your relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to depend upon electricity. He does not have to depend on a cell tower. He is God Almighty. And for you and I to have a relationship with Him, His Word penetrates in our lives to enable us to see where we are and to respond to where we need to be in our relationship with Him. Conviction is great if you do something with it. You and I have to do something with it. Now, as I'm sharing some of my thoughts with my wife, and she says, "Well, don't write that down like that." I said, "I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go against the rules of English. I'm going to give you a double negative for purpose."
never not, there's the bottom, never not a time. There's never not a time that God does not want to help. Never not. Purposely using a double negger. Never not. Now, I understand I'm not going to be going for no English essay. Praise God. But there's never not a time that he won't help you. If you what? Ask. You see, what makes Christianity so different is this communication to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world to put us in this incredible, dynamic, loving relationship with him. I know it sounds crazy. I know it's difficult to figure out. You can never figure it out. Why would God love me? I don't love me. Right?
Bobby and Beth had to recently go to a funeral for a precious friend of theirs who committed suicide. Matter of fact, it was because of Bob's influence that Jason White showed up at Westside a number of years ago, started attending here, sat right over there where Miss Vicky was. Good-looking guy. He was so good-looking, my daughter Danielle said, boy, he's a good-looking guy. She still remembers Jason White. I mean, he had all the girls turning. He came, and some of you might remember putting up a tent right outside, and we had this big tent revival. Terry, you probably remember. You were here. Steve, Johnny, Tim. Yeah, you preached. You preached one of those nights. I don't know if it was the one Frank Cox preached that particular night. I don't know what night you did, but Frank Cox preached. And Jason, I remember sitting right up here. He gave his heart to Christ, stood up for Christ, was here. And we were hoping to baptize him, but something happened. And it just never happened. And he went on, got married. And anyway, he just recently, unfortunately, committed suicide. But I was right beside Bob, and I just hit Bob on Monday at the funeral. I said, Bob, Jason's in heaven because you took an interest in him. Amen. You know, took an interest in him. And that was back at the time when Bobby wouldn't say three words. How do you remember Bob Watkins wouldn't say three words? That's right. He wouldn't say three words. Yeah, you remember. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell on you. I love you, you know. I wasn't going to do this, but he was asking me, how do I ask Beth for a date? he was doing our youth ministry at that time. How do you do that? I'm looking at him, my goodness, this guy's from college, don't know how to do that. And now when he gets up there, we can't shut him up. But anyway. but praise, it's sad, but he knew Christ. And there's only one unpartable gift. So make sure everybody knows what that unpartable gift is. It's what? No, there's one unpartable sin. What is it? Rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the unpartable sin that will never, ever be forgiven. Because once you do that, you're doomed for eternity in hell for the rest of your life. So if you have breath this morning, it's not too late. If you've not given your heart to Christ, and Christ is kind of saying, hey, come on. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. So today I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Right where you are, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Close your eyes, please. Bow your head. Please, no one looking. There may be someone here today. You've heard the gospel. You've heard about Jesus. And today's the day. You've been paying a little bit more attention. And the Holy Spirit's got your attention. And today's the day that you're going to ask Jesus inside your heart. It's not so much as the words, it's your heart. And if you're ready to say to God something like this, you can pray right after me. Quietly, he'll hear you. Again, it's not the words as much as your heart. You can pray something like this. Or you can pray this if you like. Quietly to hear him. Dear God. I agree with the scriptures that I am a sinner. And today, I believe in Jesus Christ. Today, I repent of my sin of unbelief. And Jesus, today, to the best of my ability, I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior and Lord. Jesus, would you please come into my heart right now? In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed a prayer like that and meant it with all your heart, hey, the angels are rejoicing. The angels are throwing a party because they can see down in the salvation of mankind. And they can see that your heart just received the Spirit of God. Well, I'm not an angel, nowhere near it. And I don't know whether you did or not. Of course, that's between you and God. But there's no secret disciples. So in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have what we call an invitation. This invitation, we're calling you out to stand up for Christ if you want to this morning. Your next step would be believer's baptism. We won't do that today because we want to sit down with you, make sure you have an understanding. It would be our joy to do that with you. Then at the time, we would baptize you. You be in our church. We would love to have you. So if you've given your heart to Christ, I just encourage you in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing. I'd encourage you in a moment just to come down, give me your right hand and just say, I've accepted Jesus. I will rejoice with you. I'll give you a big bear hug because I'm just excited for you. There'll be others of you who will come down to this altar and you want to pray. This altar is open for anyone. If we can help you with a spiritual decision, we're here to help you. If God's calling you in this church, you come to me and I'll help you with that decision. So in just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. You come with any spiritual decision. You've given your heart to Christ, you come to me. I want to help you with your next step. Dear God, have your way in this time of invitation in the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Sing with Brother John, or you come.